And Mike's out. All right, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing today? I'm saying, there we go. You all have learned. That is great. Well, it's so great to be here with you all today. I'm thankful to be in this place at this time with each and every one of you. It's a great day. So thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing Life Point Church to be your place of worship. I know I say this a lot, but seriously, I mean, there are so many churches just within a 10-mile radius of right here. And the fact that you're here, Life Point Church, worshiping, serving, doing life with us, man, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, if it's your first time out, and I'm the lead pastor here. And what we're currently doing right now, we're wrapping up a series, a three-week series called Pray. So today is week three, which is the final week of this series. And so if you've missed the first 2 weeks, we'll give you a brief little recap. In week one, it was kind of like that prayer 101. We basically just went over what prayer is, and we simply defined it as communicating with God, because that's exactly what prayer is. It's simply communicating with God. And we covered four simple truths from Scripture that will help us to best communicate with God. Last week, we looked through Scripture and we identified several truths of what matters to God when we pray, that there are some specific things that we see in Scripture that matter to God when we pray, and we need to be aware of those and focus on those things as we pray. And again, if you miss those, you can go and check those out on our podcast online. Go to our website or wherever it is you get your podcast needs met. It should be there. And today, like I said, we're going to finish up this series. We're going to wrap it up, and we're going to study and identify how to pray like Jesus. Right? Because if we should model our prayer life after anybody, it should be Jesus, right? Because if we are going to model anything and everything in our life, it should be Jesus. I wouldn't say the gold standard, that is the only standard to live our life by, is to live like Jesus. So we're going to look to see how it is that Jesus taught us to pray. And again, my hope and my prayer for today and from this whole series is just that God would use this to really just catapult your prayer life to a whole new level. That it would spark something in you, that you would begin to communicate with God, maybe just period, because you haven't been praying much at all, or maybe you have a mediocre prayer life, and that you would just take those steps and grow in your communication with God step by step, and that it would be completely unleashed. Because I promise you, if you do this, your life is going to be transformed. I promise you. So we're just going to go ahead and jump in today, looking at how to pray like Jesus prayed. And we're going to see this starting in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it says this. It says, "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Right? And what I think is interesting about this is the disciples had been hanging out with Jesus like for some good time now. Like, they were following him, they were serving him, and they saw a lot of incredible things, right? I mean, being with Jesus side by side doing ministry, I mean, they saw miracle after miracle. I mean, they saw these things. They just saw incredible things happening. They saw Jesus take 5 loaves of fish and of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 plus people, right? I mean, that's incredible, right? I always joke like it's, you know, like a, you know, 2-piece fish and chicken from Long John Silver's and feed everybody, right? I mean, that's some serious business. I mean, Long John Silver's is good, but I don't know that it can go that far. You know, so Jesus did some incredible things. I mean, he took some dirt from the ground and he spit in it and made some mud and put it on this man's eyes and healed this blind guy. Like, he did these incredible things, but we don't see in Scripture that the disciples came up to him and said, "Hey, Jesus, teach us how to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We don't see them coming to ask that. We don't see them say, "Jesus, teach us how to spit in the ground and make some mud and heal blind people like you did." We don't see that. But what we do see is they said, Jesus, man, we just saw how you were communicating with the Father. Like, teach us to pray. Teach us to communicate with God. I mean, I can't imagine what that was like to see Jesus connect with the Father. I mean, that had to have been incredible. Just intimate, powerful, raw, authentic. So much so that it led them to saying, teach us to pray like you pray. So we see all through Scripture, not all through Scripture, several passages of Scripture in the New Testament where Jesus actually teaches them to pray. And we're going to focus on one of those in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. It's referred to and known as the Lord's Prayer, right? It's quoted in services and in events all over the world. But we're going to take this today, we're going to read through it, and what I'm going to do is we're going to break this down into five different things that we need to seek of God when we pray. Five things that we need to seek of him when we pray based off this, the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 6, again, starting in verse 9, says, this then is how you should pray. That should get our attention right there. Jesus is saying, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How many of y'all just said that and lifted it in your head as it was, right, without even looking, right? Because it's familiar to us. You know, but one of the things that I've found is that if you've been around church a long time or around religion for a while, things like this just become rote, just kind of ritualistic, and we hear it, and we forget how powerful it is. We forget the purpose behind it. We forget what God is communicating to us through it. So really what I want to do is, as we look to seek to pray like Jesus prayed, because this is what this was about. He was teaching his disciples how to pray. I really want you to think through this and dig into this piece as we go through. So the first thing that we see that we need to seek of God when we pray is that we should seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. First and foremost, when we come before the Father, we need to seek his presence with a worshipful heart. Matthew 6, verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. It starts off everything with recognizing that God is holy. And then when we come before him, we approach him as holy, as pure, as set apart, far beyond us, that he is holy. But yet so many times we forget this. Or we push this to the side. We get so wrapped up and distracted with the daily grind, right? With life. So distracted with life that we forget the fact that we serve and have access to communicate with a holy and perfect and pure God. And so when we approach him, we first have to do so with a worshipful heart. Again, I mean, seriously, think about just how privileged we are to have that direct access to God. There's not been a time in my life that I can't remember being in church or hearing people pray or praying. I mean, I was brought up within it. But I have to always think and remind myself, man, just how blessed we are, how privileged we are to have direct communication with the Creator of all things, with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, that is mind-blowing. Like, seriously, when you stop and think about it, it's incredible. But we let life get in the way. And we put all these things in front of God. But he's holy. He's worthy of our prayer, our praise, our worship. So therefore, we need to approach him in his presence understanding the fact that he is holy and do so with worship, with a worshipful heart. Because honestly, it's ridiculous the fact that we just push Jesus off to the side and we're like, well, we pray when we think about it. Or we'll pray when we're in a crisis. We'll connect with you when we need you. But when things seem to be going smooth, we're just on our own. But he's holy. And he's worthy of our praise. So we should seek him and worship with a worshipful heart. I think in my own personal life over the past several years, I have to remind myself, and I've been trying to have more of a focus on just worshiping God when I pray. Just my prayers, just being worshiping him for who he is, not asking him for something, not petitioning him for something, not seeking him to fix this in my life or to reveal this to me or whatever. Not that I don't ever seek him for those things, but man, just to approach him and say, God, you're incredible. You are holy. You're so good. And just worshiping him. We forget to do that because we get caught up in life. I'm gonna tell you, one of the most powerful moments of prayer that I've had in some time was going to a prayer meeting that Roger and Soraya had over, I believe it was on a Wednesday night, and it was worship. Just constant prayer and worship. It was powerful because it was connecting with God. It was communicating with him, and it was worshiping him in his holy presence. So if we're going to pray like Jesus prayed, we first have to come to him understanding that we are going to seek his presence with a worshipful heart because he's holy. The second thing that Jesus teaches us when it comes to prayer is that we must seek God's priorities over our own. I'll let that one just sit there for a second. We're going to seek God's priorities over our own. And that's a tough one for me. I'm sure that's a tough one for many of you as well, because personally it's tough because, you know, I mean, I don't think this is a news flash to very many people, but I kind of like to do my thing my own way. I'm kind of like a unique, like, approach on things. And so I like to do things my way, and I can very easily, because of that, slip into this path of not focusing on what God may want, but doing what Andy may want. And so I know I have to put up some safeguards because of that. And I have to be very intentional because of that with how I do things and the way I think and how I lead and how I approach things. Because we are called to seek God's priorities over our own. Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my kingdom come. My will be done. No, but it's your kingdom. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Because it's all about you. It's all about your priorities. It's all about your will. And so when we seek God in prayer, we have to seek his priorities over our own. And I'm saying that's not easy. It's not easy because a lot of times we find ourselves in these situations where we tend to pray about all the things that we want, all the things that we think we need, right? How many of you would say that over the past month you've prayed more for the things that you think you need more than God, your will be done? Who would be on? I mean, I will say that I found myself in those spots. Right, but it's about his priorities and his will. So we have to make sure that we're focused on that. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I think I need. It's not about me saying, well, God, I think I need this raise, or I need this new car, or God, I need this new job, or whatever it may be that you may be facing or thinking that you need. It's about him, about his will, his perfect will. Because his ways are better than ours. And Jesus is teaching us that when we come to God in prayer, it's about him. 100% about his will. So it's really all about what he wants, what he's doing in your life, what he's going to do in your life. It's about the work that he wants you to do. It's about the money that he wants you to make. It's about him and his will and his purpose. Contrary to popular belief, God is not some supernatural vending machine, right? That we just throw out a prayer to God, I need this, I want this, I want this, and that he's just going to spit it out to us. It's not why he exists. That's not why he's here. That's not why he's in our lives. That's not why we serve him. That's not why we worship him. It's because of his will and his purpose and his plans. And I know I've said this time and time again, but it's the truth that when we actually seek his will and submit to that, man, your life starts to go in a direction that you could have never imagined for yourself. And I promise you, when you look back years from that point, you're going to see that, man, I can't imagine my life being any better. That doesn't mean there's not going to be trials. That doesn't mean there's not going to be tough times. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. But what it means is that when you are in the center of God's will, you're good. And you have that peace, and you understand that, and you know that. So it's about his priorities, not our own. And again, that's not easy. It can be difficult, but nonetheless, it's a must, because this is how Jesus teaches us, clear as day. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be given to you as well. So we're to seek his kingdom, his purpose, his plans over our own. So again, what about you? What are you seeking? What is your prayer life consisting of? Your plans, your purpose, or his plans and his purpose and his will? When we pray, we are to seek God's priorities over our own. The third thing that Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer is that we're to seek God's provision for our daily needs. Seek God's provision for our daily needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. Now, every time that I read that passage and that scripture, my mind immediately goes to the church that I grew up in that has I believe we have them here as well, the daily bread devotionals. I grew up seeing those and grabbing those off the table at the church that I grew up in, so I'm always reminded of the daily bread, you know. So, which is a great devotional, but that's not what we're talking about here. It's not give us today our daily bread like our little devotional, but it's saying that give us today our daily needs. That we are going to rely on God to meet every single one of our true needs. Not our wants, but our needs. I had to teach my kids that at an early age. Is this a need or a want? Yeah. Some adults need to really learn that as well. Needs versus wants, you know. But we are going to depend and rely on God and seek his provision for our daily needs. See, because a lot of times we get caught up into this mindset that we provide for ourselves. When in reality, God provides and meets every single one of our needs. It's not us that provides. Shocker, it's not Target that provides. Although you can't get out of there for under $30, even if you're going in there to buy Kleenexes. It just never happens. But Target is not your provider. Qdoba is not your provider of your food. God is our provision for our daily needs. Your job is not what provides. If you think your job is actually what provides, go talk to someone who's recently been laid off and see if that's providing for their daily needs. It's not. A job isn't what provides for us. And that's tough. I mean, I fall into that mentality a lot as well. But it's God who provides. It's God that meets all of our needs. And we have to rely on that. We have to receive that and understand that it's not us, but it's Him. And He has us, and He will sustain us. And we have to fully realize this in our lives. And when we seek God in prayer, we seek Him with that understanding. See, unfortunately, many times we don't really receive this until we're in the middle of a crisis, right? Until we're in the middle of a situation where we can't provide, or we don't think we can provide, right? Where it's only God who can provide. It's only God who can heal. It's only God who can comfort or change that situation. I mean, I'm thinking about just this week, Friday, I did a funeral for my mother-in-law's best friend, and watching her two children, who are both very young, just mourning, just grieving, just lost. They'd lost their dad already, and now they'd lost their mom. And they were in a tough spot. And when I'm thinking of them and I see them, I'm like, man, this is, only God can meet this need. Doesn't matter what anyone says. It's only God that can bring that comfort and bring that peace. I think of friends of ours that had miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage, and they were devastated, just broken. And again, it's always good to have close friends that will love you and hold you up and cry with you. But truly, it's only God that can meet that need. It can only bring that comfort and that peace. It's because God is our sole provider. It's Him, not us. It's Him. And there's many of us here today that have needs, that we are in need of something. Maybe it's that your marriage is on the rocks, it's tanking. Or maybe it's that you're struggling with some physical illness, or someone you love is struggling with an illness. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe you're still grieving the loss of someone close to you that you loved. That was a part of you. Maybe you have a need because you're struggling with selfishness or some other issue that you're dealing with. Whatever it is, understand that it's God that meets all of our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs," not some of them, "but all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." He will meet those needs. Many times when you're in the middle of what you would think is your need in a situation, God reshapes what your need really is, and He reveals that to you, and then He meets that need. I mean, I don't know how many times that's happened where I think I need this one thing, and then God's like, "No, you're way off. This is what you need. I'm going to provide it for you." Because it's Him that sustains us. And so when we pray, we seek God's provision for our daily needs. The fourth thing that Jesus teaches us when we pray is to seek God's pardon for our sin. Seek God's pardon for our sin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." This should be a part of our prayer life, is seeking forgiveness for the things that we mess up in. When we screw up big time, just seeking God's forgiveness. For some of us, this is maybe a weekly kind of prayer thing. Others, maybe it's like a, you know, two or three times a day kind of thing, right? But we're going to seek God's pardon for our sin. As soon as you realize you stepped over that line, you did something that you shouldn't have, or whatever it may be, or you didn't do something that you should have, man, we need to seek God right then and there for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just and will forgive. But we have to go to him, confess those things, and seek his forgiveness. And we all have to do that. I don't care who you are, or how long you've been in church, or how good you are. Every single one of us are flawed. We're not perfect. We have our hang-ups. We have our issues. We have our struggles. And when we fall to those things, we need to seek God for forgiveness. Whatever it is. For you, maybe it's that you need to seek forgiveness for lust, lustful thoughts, lustful desires, or whatever it may be. Maybe it's that you have some destructive habit or addiction in your life that you need to seek forgiveness for. Maybe it's gossip or lying or just bad-mouthing someone or whatever it may be, harboring bitterness in your heart towards somebody. Whatever it is, you need to seek forgiveness. Take that to God. If you haven't done so, man, take that. Take it to him. Or maybe it's that you've taken those things to God and you've sought his forgiveness, but man, you haven't forgiven yourself. You're carrying that thing that you did around with you. You won't let it go. God's already forgiven you, but you're carrying it. You're letting it destroy you and eat you up. Understand that it's not necessary. Because when we take that to God, he will forgive. And therefore, we need to release it, not keep it with us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And when you carry that sin around in your life after you've been forgiven and let it destroy you and wreck you and you keep wallowing in it, man, you're saying, I don't believe you. I don't believe your word. I don't believe your truth that you say you'll forgive me because you're carrying it. You need to release that. And trust me, it's miserable. I've done that far too often in my life. When you carry something around that God has already forgiven you of and you feel guilty and you let that guilt and that shame just settle in and in reality, it's gone. He's forgiven you. It says he separated you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. If you don't get that visual, that's a long way. It's far apart. He's forgiven us. But we also have to seek God for that forgiveness. And we have to do that when we pray. So the first thing we need to seek is God's presence with a worshipful heart, right? Because he's holy. We need to seek God's priorities over our own. Seek his provision for our daily needs, for our daily bread. And we're going to seek his pardon for our sin. And the fifth and final thing that Jesus teaches us when we pray is to seek God's power to overcome temptation. Seek his power to overcome temptation. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one. The deceiver, Satan, he is real. He is there. And he wants nothing more than to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to wreck you. He wants to keep you on the sidelines. He wants to keep you addicted. He wants to keep you distracted. Whatever it is that he can do to destroy you, that's what he wants to do. And he'll use a plethora of ways to do that. See, because understand, if you are in Christ, if you are connected to him, a believer, man, he can't have you. He can't have your soul. That's eternally connected to God. But he can distract you. He can make you ineffective for the gospel, for the good news of Christ. But we can't allow that. We have to be on mission. We have to flee from him. And in order to do so, we have to seek God's power to overcome those temptations. We have to. It's a must. Because on our own, we will fall every single time. When we try to conquer and take on those temptations, those things, those struggles in our lives with our own power, you're going to fall. But when we bring in God's power and we tap into that and we receive that and we attack that, then we're getting somewhere. We're going to be able to resist those temptations. So when you're in the middle of that temptation, because I promise you, you're going to be tempted. It's going to come. But when you're in the middle of that, man, you got to stop and seek God's power. God, help me with this. I know what I want to do, but I also know what you want me to do. So give me the strength to do what you want me to do, to flee from this, to resist this. And there's no doubt that some of you today are going to be tempted with whatever that one thing is, whatever that hang up is. Again, we all have it. I don't care how young or how old you are. We all have that thing. We have to stop. God, give me the strength. Give me the power to resist this. Better yet, we should be seeking God consistently when we know what that thing is. God, give me the strength to overcome that before it even presents itself to you. But we need to be seeking God's power to overcome those temptations. Again, whether it be when you're sitting at home and you got your phone in your hand or your laptop there and you're starting to think about searching some images or whatever it may be, you got to stop that. God, give me your power to resist that. I know that's not good. It's not healthy for me. It's not of you. Or when you're sitting around talking with someone and they start bad-mouthing somebody else, gossiping or whatever it may be, God, help me not to participate in this. Help me just to change the subject or get up out of here. Not participate, whatever it may be for you. Maybe it's driving down the Waterson Expressway, right? And a dude from Texas pulls out in front of you. Just saying, God, give me the strength to not do anything. Just stay in my lane, literally, stay in my lane. Just keep it moving. Whatever that temptation is, we're gonna seek God's power to overcome it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us this about overcoming temptations. I mean, this is a powerful passage. So check it out. 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Beautiful promise. A promise to cling to when you're struggling with temptation. A promise that I've held on to ever since high school. It was taught to me super early, middle school or high school, and I've really clung to that, knowing that I'm never going to be tempted more than what I can bear. Not because of me, but because of God's power. And because he will make a way out. So I don't have to give in. I don't have to fall to that temptation because I can seek his power to overcome because he's made a way out. I don't know what it may be in that moment, but I'm going to be looking for it. I'm going to be waiting for that opportunity. He will give us a way out. So we're going to seek him for his power to overcome those temptations. I'm telling you, prayer is an incredibly powerful blessing that we have in our life. To be able to communicate directly with God. Man, don't take that for granted. Don't let that just become a thing. It's powerful. So we're going to begin to communicate with God. Don't overcomplicate it. Just communicate with God. Talk to him. Be honest. Be real. We're going to understand what matters to him when we pray. We're going to follow Jesus' example, his teaching, and how to pray. And he says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through prayer, God will strengthen you. Through prayer, your relationship and connection with him will grow and grow and grow. And you'll be drastically different. You'll be changed. You'll see hope when there seems to be no hope. You'll find peace in the storm. You'll be connected to him, doing life with him, walking in stride with him, in relationship with him. So I challenge you this morning and moving forward to increase your communication with God. Wherever you are now, it is what it is. Take it to that next step. Increase your communication with God. Take those steps to seek him through prayer. And as you do, I promise you, your life is going to just, it's going to go to a whole new level. He will change you for the better. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you so much for the fact that we can come directly to you and be in communication with you. God, you are so good. You are holy. And we are so thankful. Just to know you, just to be able to speak your name, to be in your presence, God, is so humbling. And we are not worthy. But I'm so thankful that you give us this opportunity. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never come into that relationship with God. Maybe you've been here at LifePoint Church a few times, or you've been to church, or you've been checking out the claims of Christ, but man, you've never stepped over that line of faith. I'm telling you, today can be that day. See, God loved you so much that he sent his son, not only to teach us to pray, not only to teach us so many incredible things, but he came with the sole purpose of giving his life for you. That through his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, and his glorious resurrection, that you could be saved. That you could be connected to God for all eternity and made right before him. And scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing. And if you're here this morning and you've never come into that relationship with Christ, or maybe you're just not sure, you've been in church for a long time, but you don't know that you've ever really connected with him. Hey, don't overcomplicate it. Just confess and believe. And just call out to him how he leads. It's not about a specific prayer. It's not this. It's just about confessing and believing. It's about a heart transaction with the Father. Maybe you're here this morning and through this series or through today or just through you're just meditating on some of these things throughout the past couple weeks that God's revealed to you that your prayer life is in need of rescue. Begin to connect to the Father intimately, powerfully, raw. Just talk to him. Take wherever you're at and start from there. Follow, if you don't know how to pray, follow how Jesus taught. He lays it out in scripture right there for us. Whatever it is this morning that God is leading, during this time, I really encourage you just to do business with him. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. Maybe you just need to worship him. Maybe you need to seek his priority and his will. Power for temptation, whatever it may be. Before we get into a moment of prayer, we're going to go ahead and transition into our our communion piece of our service. Here at Life Point Church,